Bear Country is safe when every small cub there learns some special... Wait, I've done this already. Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I'm your host, Phil Gonzalez, and this is part two of my discussion about the Berenstain Bears Learn About Strangers. In the first part, you heard my interview with Allison Fay of the Jacob Wetterling Resource Center, and now I'm going to talk a little bit, hopefully for less time than the last episode, about the book itself, about its place in Bear Country history, about its place in pop culture, about its place in your bookshelf, if you have the book on your bookshelf. It's an unusual book, and first we have to figure out where it sits in its place in children's literature. No work of art, whether it be written work, graphic art, visual, music, whatever, no work of art can be discussed, analyzed, looked at without its proper historical context. And these books in particular fall heavily into that category because they posit themselves not only as works of entertainment for children, but also educational resources for children and parents. So you have, on one hand, you have the artistic side of it, the illustrations, the writing, the adventure, the characters, the presentation of Bear Country, which sits in its own little place. But then you also have the information it's trying to get across. And that's where this book falls on a weird place in the children's literature spectrum. It's similar to the works of Richard Scarry, his Busy Town works, not particularly the storylines, but the books that are vocabulary books, the ones that are sort of a story, but they label a lot of things and try to teach kids what's going on around town, cars and trucks and things that go, those kind of books. And also classic Sesame Street, I wanted to talk about a little bit. Not the current Sesame Street, but the ones that came out in the 60s and 70s, up through part of the 80s, because those are good touch points as we talk about this book. Now, when you're analyzing a book like this, you can come at it from many different angles, but I want to focus mostly on one of two, the entertainment aspect of it or the educational aspect of it. It sits on both sides of this fence. It straddles them. All the Berenstain Bear books in this series do, more or less, but this one kind of falls heavily on the education side, and so that's why I think the discussion of it has to really take that into consideration. When you look at Richard Scarry's books, they've been reworked over the years, and there's been quite an outcry in internet comment sections and Amazon.com reviews, because over the years they've gone back, editors have gone back and changed representations, particularly gendered representations. They've changed the firemen to firefighters. They've added female characters where they're usually only been male characters. They changed descriptions like pretty stewardess into flight attendant and manly pilot into pilot, airline pilot. Not only getting rid of the qualifiers, but also clearing up the actual and modernizing the actual names of jobs. This did not meet with welcome arms by a lot of readers. People say it's a disgrace. It's changing history. These are works of art. They need to remain as they were. This is classic children's literature. And I can understand that drive, the drive to say, no, these need to stay the way they are. These need to stay the way Richard Scarry intended them to be. But the author of these books intended them to be educational, as well as entertaining, as well as representations of his works. And they would fail in that regard if they weren't changed, if they weren't altered. This isn't the same as modernizing references in a narrative. This is saying, okay, the percentage of education to the percentage of entertainment is not 50-50. These books are 75-80% educational. The rest is delight and entertainment and fun. But we really need to focus on the education aspect of it. Otherwise, they fail in their own mission. They're teaching children outdated ideas about work and women and men and gender and where people sit in society. And if we want them to remain relevant and sellable, then we need to update them for modern audiences. The same goes for Sesame Street. When Sesame Street was released on DVD, the classic Sesame Streets, the early episodes, they were issued with essentially a warning saying, this isn't meant for education. This is meant to be entertainment. please don't take these as educational materials anymore. This is purely entertainment. And there was a bit of a hue and cry about that. And I still hear it brought up amongst friends every now and then, like, oh my God, like, what kind of world do we live in where we have to put warning labels on classic Sesame Street just because Roosevelt Franklin's in them? And I think that's, I can understand the drive where you say these were good enough. When I was a kid, I learned my ABCs from them. I learned how to count. I learned how to be a good person from this. Why can't this relate to children today? And I don't think what the Children's Television Workshop is saying in that situation is necessarily these aren't educational or these are bad for kids. But the Children's Television Workshop, Sesame Workshop, I guess is what it is now, has a mission. And that mission is to educate based on the most modern educational tools available. And if they put material out to the public, they're putting it out with the understanding that it represents them. And if they don't put a disclaimer on it, they are claiming this is modern education. This is an educational material that meets their current criteria. And it doesn't. I mean, honestly, it doesn't. Classic Sesame Street didn't – there was no research that they could use as to how to use television to educate children about stuff like this. It just – the body of work did not exist. So they were kind of winging it. And it's been said that Classic Sesame Street was successful in spite of the techniques it used. It contained for want of a better word, the magic of entertainment, the magic of Jim Henson, the magic of I don't even want to give the Muppets all the credit, the magic of the performers and the enthusiasm behind it and just the sheer quality of the entertainment allowed the dodgy educational aspect of it to work better, to work in spite of the fact that it wasn't particularly on point as we know today. And so the modern Sesame Streets that people see and say, this isn't my Sesame Street. Well, of course it isn't. It isn't funky. It isn't as rambunctious. It isn't as in your face. It isn't as representative of you know, the world that Sesame Street attempted to represent, because that doesn't meet with their mission anymore. Education patterns changed. The needs of a child's mind have been refined, and we know more about how children learn than we did 40 some odd years ago. So when you're looking at education versus entertainment, there's a lot more at stake than adhering to an artistic standard, than adhering to nostalgia, than adhering to your desire to relive with your children what you experienced as a child. Educators have a mandate from their own worlds that say you have to adhere to the information that we have learned over the years. You have to adhere to the techniques that we have learned are effective. We are more concerned with educating children than we are with showing Grover as a waiter. Sorry, that's just not part of, you know, like, that's just not part of our mission anymore. This is all a sort of a long way of saying that the Berenstain Bears Learn About Strangers falls into this weird category as well. Only it is, I want to say it's even more immediate because the subject matter is more or less a matter of life or death. Not to put too much of an emphasis on it, but when it comes right down to it, we're discussing how to keep children safe, physically and emotionally safe. And so we're looking at a book that uses to the best of its ability the information that people had in the 1980s, but is not. The Berenstain Bears Learn About Strangers is a reactionary book. It is a reaction to a crisis that may not have even existed. It's a reaction to the missing kid crisis. It's a reaction to our culture's panic about children being in danger by the perceived other, by be it the drug dealer, be it the sexual predator, be it the Satanist, be it the mysterious hooded cloaked figure in the alleyway. In the 1980s, we had this idea that there were this innumerable amount of predators trying to harm our children. And The Berenstain Bears Learn About Strangers is a reaction to that, because suddenly the idea of the stranger was back in our dialogue. And because The Berenstain Bears Learn About Strangers is purely reactionary and not purely educational, it falters in many regards. Now, if you look at it simply as a work of entertainment, it's good. I like the variant St. Bears Learn About Strangers as an entertainment because, well, A, it's extremely colorful. It's beautifully laid out. Even the title page is so bizarrely incendiary with its mysterious figures hiding behind the letters of the title. And you get to see brother and sister engaged in a lot of activities. You get to see sister... you get to see more of sister's personality, her outgoingness, her gregariousness, her interacting with the community at large. You see her as a member of her community. And I love that. I love that Bear Country is a living thing to these children. And unfortunately, as was said in the interview, that's presented as a negative. It's presented as a negative that a young child would find a connection with the members of her community. And Papa Bear agrees and puts a, you know, stamps his foot down and says, no, let me tell you the story, daughter. And the story that we mentioned in the episode is simply about a goose befriending a fox and the fox murdering her. That's it. That's literally the whole story. And that's very funny. Like, I just find it incredibly amusing. This could be a story about the dopey father who doesn't know how to handle a situation. And I would find it purely okay if Papa was the one who learned the lesson in the end. If this is a story about Papa Bear, that would be great. But it's not a story about Papa Bear. It's a story about Sister. And she wakes up the next morning and we get this wonderful illustrations. That the Berenstains did such an amazing job showing this idyllic scene of Bear Country with Happy Frog and Happy Bunny, happy neighbors, happy flower sellers, happy balloon salesmen, happy just happy people. And then showing the exact same drawing right below it with everyone as a shifty, shady, unpleasant individual. And Sister just flips out. She's not having any of it. And then we get the apple scene. And if you don't know what the apple scene is, basically Mama pulls Sister aside and says, you look... I know there's a lot of strangers in the world, but, you know, it's not a good idea to talk to them or accept presents from them or rides from them. But not everyone's bad. There's a saying that says there's always a couple of bad apples in every barrel, but you don't know what they look like. So Sister said, look, it's a bad apple. I found one. She holds up this really lumpy, ugly apple, but Mama cuts it open and it's a perfectly fine apple inside. She's like, look, it's fine inside. And then she picks up another apple and she says, now here's one that looks fine on the outside, but inside it's all wormy. And she cuts it up and it's literally the most disgusting thing in any children's book ever. It's like an apple filled with disgusting worms, not fun, lowly worms, disgusting worms. And that's it. Like, that's the entire discussion that Mama has with her. I don't know how Mama knew there were worms in that apple. We're going to let that go. B, it doesn't teach you anything. All Mama does is really confuse the situation more. So right now we're looking at a story that could be about two bad parents. Like, maybe they need to learn a lesson. And right here, you could stop the story and change it and have Sister literally get in trouble. But because she's been taught not to talk to strangers, not knowing what to do. And then you have to learn the lesson we learned before, which is she needs to learn how to talk to strangers. She needs to learn how to talk to members of her community. But that's not what happens. What happens instead is that Brother Bear, who through the whole book has been shown working on model airplanes, he and Sister go out to pick wildflowers. There's a guy out flying a remote control plane, and Brother starts talking to him, which is a big no-no. So Sister goes to stop him from talking to this guy, and the guy's like, hey, I'm going to be flying my plane. You want to get in my car and come along while I fly it? Honestly, don't know how you radio control a plane while you're driving a car, but this guy does. And Sister flips out and goes running home to tell, and the guy drives off. There's a whole thing about whether Sister, it's considered tattling, and Mother's like, no, she's just trying to protect you. That's not tattling. That's just, she says tattling is telling just to be mean, and Sister was telling because she loves you and was worried. And Brother's like, oh my God, do you think that guy was going to kidnap me? And the parents are like, probably not. Then they eat some applesauce. And that's it. And then there's like the list of rules that we went over before. The book makes no sense. It doesn't actually teach you anything. It doesn't succeed. And it sits in the same place pop culturally as PSAs from the 1980s about drugs, where it was always a guy in a trench coat, a leather jacket, like on the school ground, like, hey kids, you want some drugs? First one's free. But that's not the way children encounter drugs. Children encounter drug usage through their friends, through the people they socialize with, not through strangers, not through pushers. The concept of the schoolyard pusher is no one's that, I mean, I'm sure there are, but most children aren't that bold on the schoolyard. They're not going to risk getting caught. They're going to wait until someone comes to them. They're salespeople. They're not trying to put themselves out of business. So, but there was this idea that that was what drug dealing was. And so we got the TV specials. We got the episodes of Different Strokes and Silver Spoons that dealt with the schoolyard pusher. This is the same. I mean, if you listen to the interview, obviously this is the same thing. Children are not primarily in danger from being kidnapped. And so as a book, it's really hard. I've read this book to my children. We find it entertaining. But I understand now better than I did before how potentially damaging it is. And the Berenstain Bears Learns About Strangers stands in a strange place in Berenstain Bear culture. Well, okay, that's not an actual thing. In pop culture. Because it is one of those books people bring up about how much this book terrified them. And there, of course, is a delicious irony in that because it's a book about parents inadvertently terrifying their children with talk about strangers. The book does that as well because it really paints strangers as a terrifying thing, a thing to be avoided. But most people in the world are strangers. And so I don't know where I come down on this book. But I'm going to say it has a place in Berenstain Bear history. It is a piece of popular culture. If we did a museum exhibit on the history of moral panics, the history of societal panics, the history of the satanic panic, the abduction panic, this book would have a place at that exhibit. It is example A. Here is what we thought. Here is how we treated it. But as you heard in the interview with Allison, that is not what we know now. Because the Berenstain Bear books, particularly this series, errs on the side of education, because that is how they posit themselves. I don't know Stan and Jan Berenstain. I did not know them. I've never asked them. So I don't know how they approached a book, if they approached it purely from a storytelling perspective or from an agenda perspective. I mean, obviously you were like, okay, we need to write a book about strangers. I'm going to guess that this story wouldn't exist without the need to tell about talking to strangers. It's no longer, it's scary without needing to be. It's muddy without needing to be. Now, we've covered other muddy books. The Berenstain Bears, and No Girls Allowed, for example, a really muddy message that just gets muddier and muddier the more you pick it apart. I mean, if you look at the Berenstain Bears, No Girls Allowed, you realize that you can sort of see what they were going for, but it sort of fails because they keep contradicting themselves. But if you don't pick it apart like we do, if you step back the way a child looks at it, it still has a good overarching message, which is don't be jerks to each other, kids. Boys, don't be jerks to girls. Girls, don't be jerks to boys. Like, at the end of the day, that's kind of the message. It gets a little too confusing, but kids take away. They know that's what the message is. Like, just don't be jerks. Like, as you get older, you start noticing the weirdness of the whole situation, but it's still a useful book. You can read it to your kids and not be too concerned they're going to get a weird message. I personally edit it when I read it out loud because it's got some problematic parts, but as has been said, anything worth discussing, any art worth discussing is problematic. That's why we discuss it. That's why we worry about it. That's why we, anything has problems with it. Nothing is perfect. There's no perfect example of anything. And everything can be tweaked and fixed. But the more you tweak one end of it, the more out of alignment the other end gets. It's just, that's the way it works. And anything worth discussing, is worth discussing. God, that really doesn't make any sense. Anything that important is worth discussing anyway. Any book that has import for your children is worth discussing with them anyway. So you can talk about what works and what doesn't. This book, however, is so out of date, is so out of left field, that I would almost say that it's not even worth reading and discussing with your children. Now, you do lose out on a few fun things. And so I won't go so far as to say don't read it to your kids. But we know now that teaching your children to be afraid of strangers isn't helpful. We know now that putting the responsibility of their own safety onto a child is not helpful. We know now that strangers are not who your children need to worry about. Your children don't actually need to worry. We know that they simply need the tools to function in society, and that you're in charge of keeping them safe, that it is the adult's job to keep children safe. So I'm going to put the Berenstain Bears one about strangers on the reserve pile. Well, it's not going to be in regular rotation. It's not a dangerous book. I'm not saying don't read it to your kids if you want to. Like, go ahead. But be aware that it's not as useful as an educational tool as we would like to believe out there. So those other books, by the way, are linked at our website, berensteinbearcast.wordpress.com, where I have included links to the Jacob Wetterling Resource Center, where I have included links to the parental resources that Allison talked about on the show, where I've included links to other books about the subject. So please visit the website and find out more about this topic. Remember that just because a book doesn't live up to its mission doesn't mean it doesn't have artistic merit. And these books definitely have artistic merit. That is why we're discussing them here today. The Berenstain Bears are going strong hundreds of books later, and there's a reason for that. There's a resonance there. Not every single one of them is going to be a classic, and that's okay. It does not negate the quality of the art, the quality of the writing, the quality of the characters, or the well-meaning intentions behind the writing of each book. Remember, this wasn't Stan and Jan being lazy. This was Stan and Jan writing with what they knew at the time to be the necessary tools for children. So we're not gonna hold that against them. We're just gonna say there's better resources for a very serious, very important topic. And I'm gonna leave you with that today. As always, go visit our website, visit us on Facebook, rate and review us on Twitter. This is the most serious episode we've probably ever done. And we're going to get a little lighter later on. We'll keep coming back to stuff like this. As they touch on topics that we consider really important, we'll treat them with the import they deserve. But until then, rate and review us on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter at BStainBearcast. I'd love to hear from you at BearenstainBearcast@gmail.com. Again, my name is Phil Gonzalez, and I will see you next week deep in bear country.